Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray all across the building. Would you lift up your hands and just continue to worship the Lord? Hallelujah, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We thank you. Hallelujah. Why don't you lift up your hands and just throw up your hands and your heart and say, God, here I am. And just begin to worship him. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, we worship you, God. We exalt you. We give you great praise, God. Hallelujah. 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 Amen, amen, amen. It's so good to be, amen, in the house of the Lord again this morning. It's so good to be with such a wonderful church. Amen. I'm glad to, you know, some churches wait until Sunday night, but I've learned here in Birmingham, you guys have Sunday night service every service. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. Amen. If you have your Bibles, we're going to turn open to the book of Revelations, chapter number 3. Amen. Revelations chapter 3. Give honor, amen, to your pastor and to their family. We've enjoyed our fellowship with them and their kindness to us, the basket, the room, and all that stuff, and all the brothers that helped us finally get hooked up. Amen. It's been a battle, but they did the work. Amen. Thank God for that. And all the brethren I've had the chance of fellowshipping with here. Amen. It's good to come to a place where you have friends. Amen. Revelation chapter 3, beginning of verse number 1, I'm just going to give you what I've been praying, and even before I came, and I felt like God laid it on my heart, and I'm going to do my best to deliver that to you this morning. Revelation chapter 3, beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says, "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come unto thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee." He said, speaking to the church, "I know your works, that you've got a name, you've got a reputation, that you live and you're dead. Be watchful." And then he said, "Strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die." And I want to preach to us for a few moments on this subject, the revival of remains. The revival of remains. Would you set your Bibles down one more time, lift up your hands, and pray that God would speak to us here this morning. Amen. If that's your heartbeat, God, speak to me, God. Speak to my heart. Speak to my family. Speak to my situation. Speak to where I am, God. Speak to the church. Hallelujah. Would you pray that all across the building? God, open up my ears to hear, God, and my heart to respond to your word in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said amen. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord one more great hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Shake your neighbor's hand. Tell him God bless you. And you may be seated. Amen. What a wonderful group here this morning. The revival of remains. In my recent study, I came across, amen, a story that interested me. There was a man by the name of Roland Ruse, and he is an artist in Slovakia. In 2008, he was invited with a group of artists to an old rundown hotel. The Hotel Kiev is a hulking structure made of concrete that reminds a lot of people of the harder times that they endured during a harsh military regime. Because of this, many people want the building torn down, even though it was a functioning hotel. So the city asked 10 artists to discuss what to do with this building. Although, in the end, the community still wanted the building torn down, it was at this invitation that Roland obtained a new perspective on the importance of well-maintained public spaces for a community's self-image.
So while he was in Bratislava, he came across a piece of concrete that had been torn up in the middle of a walkway. And instead of walking past it like he normally would, he put caution tape around it to keep others from tripping over it. Later, that day, he found and fixed a broken door. There was something satisfying to Roland about seeing something wrong in the community and making it just a little bit better. Roland is an artist. He's not a mechanic or a repairman, but he decided that he would use this newfound perspective to embark on what he deems to be a new art project that he calls Free Repair. I just had a feeling, he explains, that I could start repairing some broken things without asking people for permission. And then, when I got back home, I kind of developed an eye for broken things. I just started seeing broken things all over. He fixed 100 different things this way. Street signs and lights and benches, playground equipment and discarded furniture. He looked for things that were wholly neglected. He said that if something is broken and nobody seems to care about it, that's what really tends to interest me. What bothers Roland now is when people walk around and see something broken, but nobody feels responsible for it. Roland would use his artistic ability to teach himself how to repair things. He would figure out what he needed to fix something. Maybe a wooden part here, a plastic sign there, some paint of a precise color. And then he'd come back with the tools to do the repair. Or maybe if he was able to, he would take that object and he'd bring it back to his hotel or to his workshop. The goal, he said, of Free Repair wasn't solely to fix individual broken things, but Roland wanted to start a movement. Roland wanted people to see that anybody can take the responsibility for broken things in our midst. Roland wanted people to begin to ask themselves questions. Why is it that we live with broken things? Why don't we choose to repair things when they break? Even though the repairs themselves initially went unnoticed, the project has since gained Roland some positive attention. And now Roland is known as the guy that performs random acts of repair. Amen. Why do I tell this story? I've come to tell you here today that we are living in a generation that is full of broken and fragmented things. Hallelujah. We are living in a culture that is not, now I'm not just talking about old couches and street signs and ripped up concrete and ripped up playgrounds and ripped up buildings and schools. I'm not just talking about, amen, the objects of life that are broken, but we are living in a culture that is full of broken relationships, broken marriages, broken families. We are living in a culture that is full of broken government, broken financials. We are living in a city, in a world that is full of broken people. But can I tell you, this is not just as it is bad enough. Not only are we living in a world that is full of broken things, we are also living in what I would deem to be the disposable generation. We are living in a generation and in a culture that believes not only is everything replaceable, but everything is disposable. We are living in a paper plate society. We are living in a water bottle society that we will take something, and as soon as we empty out the contents, and as soon as we take what we find to be useful, and we have emptied it out, we crumple it up, and we throw it away. That's why the divorce rate in America is well over 50%. It just seems that we live in a culture where if something seems broken, broken, we just throw it away. We are living in a society that legalizes abortion and says, let's go ahead and discard the young. And we're not too far off of people that are believing that we ought to believe in euthanasia, where we can discard the elderly. We're living in a culture today that believes that if something no longer has a use or does not seem to have a purpose, that we might as well just throw it away. Oh, let's lift our hands and let's pray for our culture right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm going to tell you here tonight, this morning, that that's the truth, whether we want to believe it or not. That's the reality, whether we want to face it or not. We could like to look through our rose-colored glasses and say this thing's all fine and everything's all right, because we look maybe at our own life and we look from our own lens. But honey, if you really looked around the world, the way that it really is, it's full of broken and fragmented and busted things and people and culture. Oh, let's worship the Lord and let's pray right now. Somebody just begin to pray. God, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. But in this disposable generation that says relationships can be thrown away, in this disposable generation that says people can be thrown away, children can be thrown away, grandparents can be thrown away just because the culture of the world is that way, I've come to tell you the kingdom of God is not that way. The church is not that way. We're not in the business of throwing things out and throwing people out when they seem to lose their worth or lose their value or lose their use. But honey, you're in a place here today where we will take you from your broken state and we will do something with you. Oh, somebody worship the Lord if you've been a recipient of the grace of God. Oh, let's worship Jesus. Let's worship Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. God's kingdom is not that way. You wouldn't have to look very far to find out that it is your God that goes for the broken and the fragmented. It is in the book of Genesis that right after the failing and the falling of Adam into sin, his life had become busted and broken by sin. He was walking with God one day and he was busted and disgusted the very next moment. And here he is. He's broken apart, amen, because of this thing that he allowed into his life called sin. And immediately it is God that comes by and says, Adam, where are you? In other words, letting us know that God does not really worry about what did you do, but God is saying, where are you at? Because I'm searching for the broken and I'm searching for the busted and I'm searching for the fragmented. We do not serve a God that when you make one mistake, he kicks you out and says goodbye. We are looking at a God that the more mistakes you make, where sin did abound, the Bible says grace did much more abound. That when we mess up, there's a God that says, where are you? I want to pick you up and clothe you with mercy. Oh, let's lift our hands and let's love God for that. Let's worship him all across this building. There's people here today that you feel like you made too many mistakes. But God's coming into this building to find you. Would you lift up your hands and pray? I feel God in this place already moving. There's people here today that God's got your number. Hallelujah. Here we are, God. Speak to us. Here we are, God. You're looking for us. Here I am. Amen. You may be seated. It's not far that you can find in the Bible that when Jesus multiplied the fish and the loaves, the Bible says he told his disciples, go and find the fragments. You go and you look for those fragments that have been discarded by people that were just fed. People that just ate of this bread and partook of this bread and then took what was left over and threw it aside like it was no big deal. He said, gather up the fragments that nothing be lost. And the Bible lets us know that they took up 12 baskets full. Amen. There was 12 disciples, and God made sure each disciple filled up his basket. Can I tell you, that's the purpose of the church. What we are doing, amen, every week is we are just taking our basket out into this lost and dying world, and the things that everybody else has eaten up and thrown away, we're saying, I want to put it in this basket. You're in church here today because somebody made it up in their mind. I'm not going to let what others have discarded. I'm not just going to leave it discarded, but I'm looking for the fragments because nothing should be lost. Amen. We're going into the highways and into the byways. Why? That his house might be filled. We are teaching and we are reaching that his house might be filled. We're trying to fill up the basket so that nothing and no one and no family should be lost. Oh, let's lift our hands and let's pray. God, give me the strength to go find. Give me the observation to look for the fragmented and the busted, to put them in the church and put them in the basket, Lord. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Amen. It was God that said, you go ahead and you gather all those fragments up. And then there was 12 baskets left over. Things that the disciples would later eat. Because God will still use even fragmented things and fragmented people for the ministry. Hallelujah. God doesn't look at people, amen, as being fragmented and busted and saying they've got no more worth. But God says it's those very fragments that can feed and continue to feed. Amen. Hallelujah. It was in the Old Testament where you find the book of Nehemiah. And here there is a man that is just a cupbearer. And one day, because of the moving of God and the news that he received, he hears about the nation of Israel being destroyed. And he thinks about how Jerusalem has been decimated by the hand of the enemy. And he goes before the king, and the king asks him, why are you so sad? And he begins to tell him, I'm sad because my homeland is in ruin. The wall has been destroyed. The temple has been decimated. The enemy has come in, and he's destroyed people in the church. And he's gone through and done everything that he can to ruin the city of God and the people of God. And the king said, I give you my charge. And I give you my favor and I give you my authority to go back and do what God's put in your heart. Go back and rebuild the church. Go back and rebuild the walls. Go back and rebuild the people. God, the king told him, you go ahead and you go in the authority of the king's name and you do all that you do to rebuild the church and rebuild Jerusalem, and you do it with my stamp of approval. Amen. Anytime people are looking to build the kingdom of God, you're going to get the king's approval. Anytime there's people that are looking to build up the walls that had fallen down, you're going to get the king's approval. But in the midst of getting the king's approval, you're going to get some disapproval too. The Bible lets us know that there was two guys, Sanballat and Tobias, that rose up. And they literally begin to mock. See, when you might have the king's approval, but you might start getting everybody else's disapproval. You start living for God and you'll get God's approval and you'll get the church's approval, but you start talking to some friends and all those people that you used to party with and you'll start getting some disapproval. I'll preach to myself. I know what it is to not be invited for Thanksgiving after I came into the house of God. I know what it is to not get invited over to people's house because I come to the house of God. But you can have this whole world. Just give me Jesus. You can go ahead and disapprove of what I'm doing in the kingdom of God. But I don't really care about your approval. I got the approval of the king. I got the approval of the almighty God. If you feel that way, why don't you just go ahead and in the face of hell that's been mocking you, go ahead and give God some praise. You got God's approval. And that's all that matters. Oh, let's worship the Lord. Let's worship the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. It was Sanballat and Tobias, the Bible lets us know, came by. And this is what the Bible says. They said, will these feeble Jews revive the stones? The stones that had been fallen down off the wall. The stones that at one time provided protection. Will these feeble Jews, do they actually think that what they're trying to accomplish is going to accomplish anything? Do they really think that what they're doing matters? And I'm going to tell some people that feel discouraged because the enemy's been lying to you. Amen. I rebuke discouragement in Jesus' name. It's of the devil. It's not of God. Amen. David said, I encouraged myself in the Lord. See, I don't got to be discouraged. Amen. But I can come to the house of God and I can be encouraged. I can come here and I can feel like God says, you can do anything that I put my spirit into. The devil might try to discourage, but it's God that always says, amen, I'm for you, and who shall be against you? Greater. Oh, let's worship Jesus. Let's worship Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I rebuke discouragement in Jesus' name. When you're doing the work of God, keep on building. May be seated. And here, Sanballat and Tobias come by, and they say, will these feeble Jews revive the stones? Do you realize these stones have been down for a while? These stones had fallen down into a place that they never were intended to be. At one point, they were hewn out, and they were placed on this wall. And they were perfect before they came, because there was no chiseling to be done at the temple. He wanted to make sure, amen, that when you bring together, that there's no sound of the hammer. And these things just fit together so perfectly. But the things that one point, amen, used to fit together so perfectly are so disunified and disconnected. And now what once used to fit together is now lying on the ground. Are you really thinking that you're going to be able to revive the stones that are? Is that really what you came to do? And Nehemiah's like, yeah. That's exactly what I came to do. I came to take the stones that at one time had fallen down, and I come to pick them up and put them back in their place, because Nehemiah had a revelation. Amen. That stone is still good for something. That stone is still good for what it was hewn out for. That stone is still good for the purpose that God created. And let me bring it home. There's some people, I've come to tell you, you might have fallen down. You might have scraped your knee. But I've come to tell you, you might have fallen in that place. But that doesn't mean you don't still belong up on that wall. Oh, let's worship God all across this building. You might have fallen. The devil might have got you. But he said, rejoice not against me, O my enemy. For when I fall, I shall arise. Because God is still able to pick up those that have fallen. God is still able to revive people and revive the Oh, let's worship God all across this building in Jesus' name. Let's praise him. Let's praise him. You might have fallen and the devil says, stay down. But no, no, we're going ahead and we're going to go back to the place that God has lifted us up to. Come on, somebody, lift up your hands and let's pray. Oh, Jesus. Oh, let's pray all across the building. Come on, somebody. I feel like God. There's people, you came in this building and all of hell saying, just go ahead. Amen. You fall into that place. You might as well stay where you are. But I've come to tell you, if you were on that wall at one point, providing protection for the kingdom of God, if you were on that praise team at one point, you might have made a mistake and fallen down. But guess what, honey? You got a God that when you fall is still able to pick you up. Oh, let's worship Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Are you really going to revive the stone? Yeah. You see,
They were saying that stone's nothing. But see, the Bible even talks about Jesus that way. The Bible says it was the stone that the builders rejected. That stone of stumbling, that rock of offense, that stone that everybody said was useless and had no point and no purpose. Amen. That's how they talked about Jesus. And if they talked about Jesus like that, the devil's going to talk about you like that. Amen. But that same thing which the builders rejected, they said, finally, we've got to lay the whole foundation on this thing because this rock, which is Christ, is the only thing that can hold people up in the midst of storms, in the midst of trials, in the midst of troubles. And can I tell you, just because you've fallen, amen, and the world says, you know what, it's useless, let's throw it away, and your mom and dad threw you away, and your friends threw you away, and people in your life threw you away, just because they said it doesn't have a purpose anymore, I've come to tell you, in Jesus' name, you still got a purpose in God. Oh, let's love him. Let's love him all across the building and worship Jesus. Oh, somebody, hallelujah. Let's lift up our hands and pray, God, here I am. Pick me up and put me back where you called me to be. Hallelujah. Pick me up and put me back. God doesn't throw away when you make one mistake, two mistakes, three mistakes. You just got to keep repenting and getting. Oh, let's worship the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. These stones that they mocked and made fun of, Nehemiah just kept working with them. Amen. And there's people here today, you think, man, my life's so wrecked, people should just stop working with me. We're not going to stop working with you. And God's not going to stop working with you. So you might as well just start working with yourself. Hallelujah. And they said those things, they got moss on them, they got all sorts of mess. They've fallen into mud, they're muddy, they're dirty, they've got all sorts of mess and mistakes and everything against them. And you fast forward to the New Testament. And in comes Jesus into Jerusalem. And he's walking in with his disciples. And the disciples begin to comment and they begin to say, wow, this is incredible. And they weren't complimenting the music. And they weren't complimenting how well everybody was dressed. And they weren't complimenting, amen, all the aesthetics, amen, in Jerusalem. But they said, Jesus, how beautiful are these stones? You just got to fast forward your life a little ways. And what everybody says is useless and has no more purpose. Someday somebody's going to come by and say, wow, how beautiful. Wow, I never thought. I thought he was going to be hooked on crack. No, you haven't heard the rest of the story. How beautiful are the things that God picks back up and God dusts off and God restores. How beautiful are the lives that God can restore and God can fix. You don't know, like I know, what good things the Lord has done. Somebody, you just got to fast forward. It might look rough right now. It might look dirty right now. It might look low right now. But you come back and look how beautiful are the works of God. Somebody worship the Lord and give God praise. Oh, let's worship him. Let's worship him. How beautiful, how beautiful, how beautiful what the enemy mocked, how beautiful what the enemy said was useless, how beautiful you might be hooked on something right now, but someday, how beautiful. Would you lift up your hands and let's pray. Come on, somebody, let's pray. God's still in the restoration business. God's still in the business of finding broken people and saying, you know what? You might be messed up, but when I get done with you, they won't recognize you. When I get done with you, they won't even know the kind of hell you've been through. God said, when I get done with you, they're going to look, they're going to marvel and say, wow! Oh, let's worship him all across the building. may be seated. When I was, I think, about 22 years old, a friend of mine got into a drug rehabilitation center, and we just started teaching a Bible study. There was about two people. You know, we had to get shots and all sorts of stuff to get in there, but we did what we had to do for the Lord. Hallelujah. Survived the needles. Amen. And here we were. There was just about two people. And we just started teaching Bible study. It was in a little room, a little halfway drug rehabilitation center. We just started talking about Jesus. And mind you, these are people that have been in prison, stabbed people, shot people, been on drugs, been on everything you could think of. And there's two options. You go here or you go to prison. And then there's other option three, which is you go here, then you go to prison. So that's just how things are. And so we got in there. We started teaching Bible studies. And we started with two guys, a little short guy named Zab. Didn't look like much, tatted up everywhere, served many years in prison, and another guy. And before it was all said and done, we had about 100 and something people. We had to take over the cafeteria. We started emptying out the Alcoholics Anonymous, the drug rehabilitation parts. We started emptying out the smudge Indian groups. Amen. Can I tell you, there's nothing like Jesus. See, because you know what AA says? AA says every time you come in, you got to admit, I am an alcoholic. Apostolic says, no, I was. But God, I was. But God, I'm not what I once was. God stepped in. If it wasn't for grace, I might still be. But thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. Oh, somebody just worship the Lord. Hallelujah. You may be seated. And so we started teaching this Bible study. I hope I'm not boring anybody. We started teaching this Bible study. And brother, when I say teaching Bible study, we had church. You think you had church, wait till you go to a drug rehab center where people got nothing to lose. I feel like some people here, you know exactly what I'm talking about, because I come into church here sometimes and I think, man, some people got nothing to lose. Hallelujah. That's how we ought to worship God. And so these guys would just come and we'd have church. Amen. You'd have guys. One guy was all tatted up. Amen. He looked like the devil. All red tats everywhere. All he was missing was the horns. He was about 6'7". Dude was all big. But I'm gonna tell you, when the word of God came forth, he was the first one to hit his knees and begin to cry. We brought him to church. We baptized him in Jesus' name. We just bust them in and baptize them one after another in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Well, Brother Zeb came and he sat in the church like this and thought, no, I don't really know about that, because all Zeb could see is all the mess he'd done. All he could see was the fact that he walked out on his family. All he could see is the fact that all the drugs he'd done, all the drugs he sold, and all the people he got hooked on drugs while he was still doing them. And he just couldn't let go of the fact that he had made so many mistakes. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, we begin to preach about the grace and mercy of God, just like I'm preaching to you this morning. And Zeb threw his hands in the air, and Zeb began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. Oh, and that's what's going to happen to somebody here this morning. You came in here thinking, I'm unredeemable, I'm unlovable, because everybody else threw me out. But I've come to tell you, God is looking for the broken. God is looking to revive what remains. And we went for Zeb. We baptized him in Jesus' name. And before it was all said and done, Zeb was back in the drug rehab center, but not the way you think. Zeb was back in there teaching Bible studies. And Zeb was back in there telling people, I once was lost, but now I've come to tell you, we've got a God that is still able to redeem, and a God that is still able to pick people up and put them. Oh, let's worship him. Let's worship him as we stand all across the building. In Jesus' name. Come on, lift up your hands. I feel the Holy Ghost. There's people here today. You might just be your first time, but it doesn't have to be your last time. You can come in here and you can be all busted up and fallen down and dusted. But I'm going to tell you, God is able to redeem. Lift up your hands and let's pray. Come on, church, let's pray. There's saints, you've fallen down. You ain't what you want to be, but thank God you ain't what you used to be. Hallelujah. I know you made mistakes, but honey, there's a God that still loves you. The Bible says in our text, he said you got a reputation. You got a name that you live and you're dead. And there are people here today, you fit that description perfectly. It is possible to be alive on Sunday, but dead on Monday. That's why people are, I don't think people are hooked on drugs because they just thought it would be a good idea. The truth is they were dead on the inside and they were looking for any life they could find. I don't think people go and waste tons of money on drugs and alcohol simply because they just feel like it'd be a good way to waste their money. No, I believe people are looking for life because they feel so dead on the inside. You go to work and everybody says, wow, you got a smile on your face. You go to school and you look good because you got some new kicks. But the truth is, when you go home, you're crying at night. You're weeping. Why? Because you're alive and you're dead. But this is what the Bible says. He said, strengthen or revive the things which remain that are ready to die. There's a lot of people that want God's resurrection power. God, can you resurrect the years I spent in the world? Can you resurrect those relationships that I destroyed? But I'm going to tell you, God doesn't always work on resurrection. Sometimes God says, I want to strengthen what you do have. Widow woman, you broke in the Old Testament. Your husband's died. And here you go. You got bills to pay, and they're about to enslave your family. And you come and you say, man of God, I'm about to lose everything I got. And God doesn't resurrect the dad. And God doesn't resurrect the money they wasted. The prophet says, what do you have left? And so often we're the first ones to say, I don't have anything left. That's why I drink the way I drink. Can I be real with some people? That's why I cry when nobody's around. That's why I'm really ministering to somebody. There's people here today. That's exactly where you were last night. You might have started out the night drinking on a bottle, but before it was all said and done, you were filling that bottle with tears. And I've come to tell you, you're alive and you're dead. But the Bible says, strengthen the things that remain. Revive the things that remain. They're ready to die, but they're not dead yet. She says, I got nothing. Well, I guess. Somebody needs a well, I guess, this morning. Well, I guess I got a little cruise of oil. I guess I got a little bit of faith. There's some people, your faith is dying, but it's not dead yet. And sometimes God just needs a mustard seed of faith. And sometimes God just needs a mustard seed of your courage to make your way down to the front. You don't got to have buckets and buckets and buckets. But if you could just say, I got a little bit, and you'll take the little bit and pour it out, God will perform a miracle if you can give him what remains. Would you lift up your hands and let's pray? Come on, somebody. I feel the Holy Ghost. I'm done preaching. I feel the Holy Ghost. Come on. Come on. I want to encourage you. Can you take that little bit of faith you do have and say, Lord, it ain't much. It's all I got left. You came to church because you got a little bit of faith left. Can you take that little bit? I know it's about to die. I know it looks like it's getting worse. But guess what? Bring the little bit you got and strengthen it. Don't cast it away like everybody else says to do. Do what the Lord says and strengthen what remains.
Come on, God's going to revive some people. God's going to revive some faith. God's going to revive some purpose. God's going to revive. You can come here today broken by sin, and God can begin to mold and to shape and to renew. Come on, would you empty your pews? I know it takes courage, but use the little bit of courage you got left. I know you got some because you brought yourself to church not knowing who was going to be there and how they were going to look at you. But why don't you come and lift up your hands and begin to pray? It might be a little prayer, but pray the prayer you got left. Come on, somebody. Come on. I feel God reviving. I feel God reviving.
Lord, I am broken.
Come on, lift up your hands and say, Lord, I'm it's ready to die, but it's not dead yet. I still got a little bit, and I'll give it to you. And when I give the little bit to you, you'll multiply it and strengthen it.
It's in pieces, but your strength is perfect in all.
Why don't you lift up your hands and begin to pray? You may not be able to go back and fix the mess. You may not be able to go back and get the time and the years back that you lost. But you can say, Lord, from this day forward, I'm giving you what I do have. I'm giving you my life. I'm giving you my heart. I'm giving you my strength. I'm giving you my soul. I'm giving you my worship. I'm giving you all that I got. Somebody pray. Come on, God will receive it. The world might not, but God will. God will take what's left, and God will revive it. God will strengthen the remains.